Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hi, it's Nick. Ah, the smell of Cracker Jack, stale beer, and fresh-cut grass. Well, at least at Smokey's house. It's opening day. Although, I don't know that you could call the Rangers at Astros opening day. I hope Major League Baseball is marketing this as opening week. Astros at home? I mean, that's weak. It's a clean slate for every team, except the Marlins, who in an effort to appeal to their seven fans have decided to throw uber prospect Jose Fernandez into the rotation. He's so good, I actually added the umlaut to the U in Uber. Prospect Whisperer Scott is going to tell us why the big Cuban has a shot at being fantasy relevant as soon as this year. Did you mess up your bullpen at your draft? Of course you did, because no matter who you drafted, bullpens are the universe's way of reminding you that you know Jack. Speaking of Jack, Tom Jacks will give you a few arms to stash on your roster that could make you look real smart sooner rather than later. And the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest kicks off at DraftKings.com. Take the challenge and try and kick our asses. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. It's the Razzball Podcast for opening week. Finally. Coffee is for closers, or at least for guys who can project closers. I get decaf, but Tom Jacks gets a doppio espresso with a biscotti on the side. You can follow him on Twitter at VoteTomJacks. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Tom, I hate closers. Help me out here.
Okay.
That was good. That felt authoritative. I really feel you're going to help me right now with my closer problems.
Do what I can, Nick. Do what I can.
I appreciate that, Tom. So, Tom, give me a couple guys that might not necessarily be next in line or bullpens that might not necessarily look shaky, but where, you know, you can make us look real smart in the next month or so.
The first one, I think, is the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
They have Joel Hanrahan as their closer, but I really don't trust him. He had an increase in both his walk and home run rate last season in Pittsburgh, so, you know, moving over to Fenway might not go so hot.
He did pretty good in Pittsburgh last year, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but I'm worried about that ballpark move and that the trend with his home run and walk rate could start to creep up a bit.
Okay, interesting. So who would be second in line there?
Yeah, they tried out Andrew Bailey last year, but he was pretty awful. So I really like Koji Uehara. He's been excellent the past couple years. I even saw that he had a sub.7 whip over the past couple seasons there.
You know, I don't know how far the AL East has fallen, but if Uehara winds up closing for the Red Sox, I think it's safe to say it's fallen pretty far.
I agree.
All right, give me another bullpen that might be in flux early in the season.
I mean, the Oakland A's are one because, you know, they trade closers, you know, as like an annual tradition. You know, Grant Balfour, he's the guy there, but, you know, even if he does well, he could lose a gig just because he gets traded. So Ryan Cook might be the next in line there.
I could see that happening. What about, you know, last year I owned John Axford in a bunch of leagues and it came back to bite me. What do you think about the Milwaukee situation?
Yeah, I don't trust Axford at all. I think, I had him in a league last year too, and he just blew saves so frequently. They've got Mike Gonzalez there who, you know, he looks like he might be next in line. And, yeah, I really like him, and I think he should get the job if the Brewers decide to ask John.
Is your issue with Axford the fact that he's Canadian, or is it because you're from Chicago and he pitches for the Brewers?
Let's go with the second one only for now, yeah.
All right, fair enough. You got any more bullpens that look dicey?
Yeah. The Texas Rangers, they've got Joe Nathan there, and he rarely stays healthy. And they have Joaquin Soria, who he's recovering from Tommy John. He's going to come back sometime maybe in June, around mid-season there. And I think he could get consideration if Nathan's healthy, or in the more likely case that he's not.
All right, good stuff. And what about, here's one that I think a lot of people are assuming Sergio Romo is going to wind up closing the whole year in San Francisco. Not a high offensive team, a lot of close games there. If it's not Romo, who you got?
Santiago Castillo. He got saves. He got 25 saves there last year. And he looks like that, you know, he might still be in the mix too. And if Romo misses time, I know he's had an elbow issue in the past, and he had a little bit of a knee issue last year. And you never know, Pablo Sandoval might give him a hamate issue too. So Santiago Castillo, yeah, seems like he should be next in line if Romo loses the gig or gets injured.
All right, interesting. One I'm going to throw out there, too, is Kansas City. I know Holland looks, everyone's assuming Holland's going to close, but he's still a young guy, and there's a couple of really interesting arms there to consider. So just one that I'm throwing in. Hey, Tom, if people play in OPS leagues, who should they follow on Twitter?
I'd like to think they should follow me at both times. Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
All right, thanks a lot, Nick. Take care.
Prospects. Jose Fernandez has so much upside that pitching prospect superfan Alyssa from LA sent me multiple emails on the subject. And a FedEx. And maybe the notarized letter was a bit too much. So prospect whisperer Scott Evans is here to forecast his 2013 season. You can follow him at r_ScottE on Twitter. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Happy opening day.
Happy opening day to you, my friend. Hey, Scott, I wanted to point this out. I don't want people to think that you're just a guy who happens to write on prospects. You actually have some pro experience, correct?
Yeah, actually. I worked as an intern in the Cardinals organization. I worked in the baseball ops department, charting games and whatnot in the minor leagues. That was back in summer of 2008.
Okay, so did you actually sign both Shelby Miller and Oscar Tavares?
You know, I wasn't around at that time. I put in a lot of good words for them. I like to think that Jeff Luno, you know, was taking my word on those specific guys, but I can't really take all the credit, Nick. I don't think I can.
All right, beautiful. Listen, today we're going to talk about Jose Fernandez. A little bit of background. He was the 14th overall pick in the 2011 draft. I'm shocked that the Marlins called him up. I didn't see as a 20-year-old any benefit in them starting his arbitration clock. I don't get the Marlins organization. They sell out everybody, and then they bring up the top prospect. But this guy's interesting. I am not by any means a scout, but I look at the way Jose Fernandez throws the ball. He looks like a pitcher. In my mind, Scott, that's a guy who could throw 200 to 225 innings a year in his prime. Is that realistic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he comes in at 6'3", 215 pounds, and he's still growing. He's just 20 years old, so he's going to put on some more mass. He's definitely got a frame that's going to hold up against a major league workload. Yeah, 200 inning performances out of him in the future should be routine. Now, the Marlins are saying he's going to start off closer to 160 or so. That's probably a reasonable expectation for his first year.
So let me ask you, just in your opinion, we'll get back to him specifically. Do you think the Marlins think he's ready, or do you think that they're rolling him out there, to draw a couple fans to the ballpark? Because it doesn't seem logical to me.
It is puzzling. And I mean, just a week ago, they had ruled him out as being ready. And 1 week later, they've changed their mind after a couple injuries. I do see an angle where they're trying to draw some fans to the ballpark. Fernandez is a Cuban defectee. He came over to the States when he was a teenager. It wasn't like a Jorge Soler type defection either. He actually tried and failed three times to make it to the U.S. as a teenager. Served jail time after each of those.
Wow.
He finally made it over his fourth attempt. So, you know, his story really reflects a lot of the Cuban refugees that live in the Miami area. I think he's a guy that people can sympathize with.
Okay, back to baseball. This guy's stuff looks filthy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got a deep four-pitch arsenal. The real weapons are a plus-plus fastball. It sits in the mid-90s, touches 97. And then he counters that with a plus-plus curve with a tight spin and real late break. I mean, it's a whiff pitch. He's going to tally up the Ks with that.
Who does he look like? Who does he throw like at this stage?
Ooh, at this stage, I mean, he's 20 years old. He hasn't pitched in Double A yet, so it's tough with the comps. I mean, he's making a huge leap right now. If I have to compare him to somebody in the bigs, just that power fastball and curve combo, I'm looking. I mean, even Roy Halladay, a younger Roy Halladay.
Wow. That's high praise.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's one of the few guys in the minors that really profiles like a true ace. So he definitely has the full package. But, you know, he's just 20 years old. He hasn't pitched in the high minors yet. So this is going to be quite a leap for him.
And then in terms of pure pitching prospects, is he up there with Shelby Miller and Dylan Bundy and the young Pittsburgh guys?
Yeah, he's a top five pitching prospect for sure. I have him in my top three. I just Dylan Bundy and Garrett Cole ahead of him. I think he's with his performance last year, I think he's passed up Taijuan Walker and I think he's ahead of Shelby Miller in that sets too.
Wow. So who do you have one and two then?
Number one, I've got Dylan Bundy. Number two, I've got Garrett Cole.
Now, what about his numbers last year? How well did he pitch in A-ball for the Marlins last year?
Well, he pitched at both levels of A. He started off at low A in the South Atlantic League. He put up a 1.59 ERA, an 0.87 whip, and struck out 11 batters per nine. That was in 14 starts. Then the Marlins bumped him up to high A for 11 starts. Really didn't slow down much. 1.96 ERA, 1.00 whip, 9.5 Ks per nine. I mean, he was just dominant anywhere he went last year.
Okay, so what's his upside for 2013? And then the second part of that question, is he actually fantasy relevant this year?
Upside for 2013, you know, I think he could do fairly well. In 150 innings pitch, I think he could do something like an ERA in the high threes, 3.7, 3.8, a whip around 1.2, 1.3, and a K per nine north of eight. He's got bat missing stuff, so he's going to help in that department. I think those numbers are absolutely fantasy relevant. And you know, the big factor here in my being optimistic about Fernandez is the fact that the scouts rave about his makeup. I mean, that's sort of a scout cliche, and it's one of those unmeasurable things. But in this instance, with a 20-year-old who hasn't played in the high minors, making the jump from A-ball to the majors, I think that that makeup comes into play.
So obviously you want to stash him in keeper and dynasty leagues, but he may be relevant this year as well, especially I think playing in the or pitching in the Crayola Canyon there in Miami.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that adds to the allure. I think he's usable in all formats. It's worth a shot. If leagues are drafting late, I mean, he's definitely worth a late-round flyer. And if he's on your waivers right now, definitely worth a pickup because you never know what these young guys can do. I mean, if he busts, what do you lose?
Yeah, fair enough. Listen, that was a really good in-depth report on Mr. Fernandez. Just a real quick question on another young guy that broke camp. We don't have to go into detail, but Aaron Hicks, what do you see him doing fantasy-wise this year? Because he's still available in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, Hicks is an interesting guy, and he's kind of one that's difficult to project because he's had up and down years in the minors. Last year, he was fantastic, and he carried that success into the big league camp, won the job in center field. I think what you're going to see out of Hicks, a lot of exciting plays in center field, which really don't help us in the fantasy department, but I think he has an upside at the plate, posting something like a 275 average. He could get on base at around 340, 345 maybe. And, you know, ultimate ceiling slugging percentage, something around 400. I think with those numbers, you might see 12 homers, 25 stolen bags. I mean, that's usable, but that's a real optimistic look for him.
So it's kind of like an Angel Pagan.
Right. Yeah, right in that range.
All right, good stuff. Listen, Scott, last time we had you on, I mixed up your middle name. I apologize. You are Scott Evans, and on Twitter, you are at r_Scott E.
That is right. It's a hard one to say. I'm sorry about that, but that is correct.
Thanks for joining us today, Scott. Appreciate the intel.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. It's opening day. It's opening day. Okay, so here we go. We're playing for real now. This is the first Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. We're about to go live on this. If you're listening to this before Tuesday evening, you can try and sew up one of the last 50 spots in the $5 contest, but you got to log on to DraftKings.com real fast and make sure that there's still a spot available to you. Okay, so here's who I went with in the contest. Remember, it's a salary cap system and the scoring is point-based. So I'm going to roll with Yu Darvish versus the Astros on Tuesday night, and also Jared Parker at home against the M's. I like both those matchups. I've also got J.P. Arencibia behind the plate, Brandon Belt at first, Jose Altuve at second, Mark Reynolds at third, Segura's my shortstop, and I've got Berkman, Bonifacio, and Saunders in the outfield. Think you can be in that lineup? Good. Remember, it's salary cap, so you really have to manage your roster. Don't forget, too, only at DraftKings.com can you substitute someone in and out of your lineup until the last minute. So if you want to find the contest link for the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, if you go to Razzball.com, head into the search box at Razzball and type in DraftKings. It'll take you to JB's article with the link that'll get you right into the contest. Don't forget, not only can you take Rudy and I's money, but you can also win an entry into the $150,000 walk-off contest that is happening on April the 12th. Now that's the biggie. The $150,000 walk-off contest has 825 entries. They're available at $200 a pop. It pays $50,000 to first, $20,000 to second, and $10,000 to third. Now, if you log on to DraftKings.com, you'll also see there's a ton of qualifiers this week to win an entry to the contest, or you could win by playing again with Rudy and I at the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, because the winner of that will get a free entry into the $150,000 walk-off contest. A couple quick points. There's a ton of contests every day at DraftKings.com, so whatever your budget, you can always get a little extra excitement on today's slate of games. Also, again, DraftKings.com is the only fantasy site that allows you to swap in and out players up until the last minute. So, you know, if there's a last minute substitution in the game or bad weather, it's not going to affect you. Wish all fantasy played that way. So we'll see you Tuesday night. I'll be Podcast Kings on the leaderboard trying to win that $150,000 walk-off pass. I'll see you there.
The Razzball Podcast.
And a big hello to Gray and Rudy. It's opening day. What's up, guys?
Oh, man. I wish I could take a nap right now. It's too much stimulation.
One day, when we get 36,000 followers on Twitter, we'll be able to all be in the same city and sit next to each other. It's going to be wonderful. That's when Razzball Radio will begin.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, speaking of which, Gray, where did we get the 36,000 followers from?
I think Around the Horn, Bench Dust, and Peter King.
Sweet mother of God. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. Around the Horn, it did, they mentioned us, I think, on the actual show, maybe. I don't know. They mentioned us a few times on Twitter, and it never really took off like that. But I guess the benefit of the baseball season about to go, and, you know, people jazzed for that, and their mention, and then Peter King as well mentioned us a few times. So.
All right, listen, let's get right into some baseball talk, gentlemen. You're looking at your bench or your reserves. You're realizing you've got some injuries. You got to start managing your roster. Let's go through some different size leagues and who you might be adding or dropping in those scenarios. Rudy, let me start with you. You're in a 12-team league. Who might you be adding or dropping right now?
Okay, well, right now, assuming 12-team league, you've got a pretty shallow bench. I'm looking to get as many closers as possible. April's a time when, you know, it's still a little fluid who's going to be the closer. There's about three guys in the hunt in Detroit with Benoit, Coke, and Albuquerque. So I'm always looking at closers. I was the first one to get in for Mitchell Boggs in the expert league because Gray was sleeping at the time, which was sweet. So I'm looking at basically having no hitters because there's plenty of guys out there. So you'll be able to fill in. I wouldn't sweat about making sure you get a full lineup in the first week. But if I was looking for hitters, I'm looking for guys with power,
that are maybe overlooked because they don't thrill you in the beginning, but they hit in the middle of the lineup. Those first few games, you could see where guys are going to really hit in the lineup. And guys in the middle, they just give you extra value because of the runs, RBIs. They're not any better than, you know, if they hit seventh. But because they're there, they get you more value. So guys like Ludwig, Chris Carter are guys that are hitting the middle of the lineup. Maybe shouldn't, but they are. And they're owned in less than 10% of ESPN leagues, which would mean probably about 50% in regular leagues.
Okay, interesting. Rudy, let me just stick with you for 1 second, because we had Tom Jacks on earlier in the podcast discussing possible bullpens in flux with closers. Give me 3 guys that you're stashing right now, because there's a chance that by the end of April, they might be the closer.
Well, Houston with Jose Varas is probably the weakest situation. The problem is there's really no one there that's a good second. With Boggs in St. Louis, I think the word on Mott, I think, is going to be pretty bad. I think there's a decent chance he doesn't pitch again this year. Elbow stuff's scary.
Right.
Boggs is okay, but I'm also looking at Rosenthal and Fernando Salas.
Okay.
They're both probably a little bit better in terms of K skills, so they're a little bit more attractive there. So I don't think Boggs will have a long leash. In Detroit, I like Albuquerque best in terms of just general skills, but I'd probably put him below Benoit and Koch. I'd probably put in Benoit, Koch, Albuquerque in terms of if you're looking for saves, who you want to own.
All right.
I think Koch kind of stinks. But I don't think he's it. So I prefer Albuquerque, but that's knowing is a lesser chance for saves.
Okay, fair enough. Gray, what about you? Who are you flirting with in a 12-team league?
Well, with Wilson Benamet's injury, Reimel is set to get DH at bats. Can't find a better man. Knowing Ryan Mold, can't find a better man.
Okay, keep it moving, Gray.
So Ryan Mold last year in April, he had 5 homers in 16 games, and then he was injured and out for the year. He's healthy, and he's going to be the DH. So if he hits, say, 5 to 7 homers in the month of April this year, stays healthy, there's no way Benamet takes the job back. Benamet's not an everyday player. He's a bench player. Can't find a better man.
Great.
Can't find a better man.
and one other guy to throw at you so I could somehow proactively stop him from singing that line again is Jose Fernandez on the Marlins.
Well, we actually just had Scott Evans, our prospect whisperer, on breaking down Jose Fernandez for us for the season. So
yeah, so he's another guy I'd be looking at.
Man.
But in general, yeah, I'd stay away from marginal starters. I'd stick with 4 or 5 starting pitchers max right now, but keep up on the closers and the relievers.
Okay, Greg, give me, aside from who Rudy has brought up, Greg, give me one guy who's going to be closing by the end of April that no one is expecting right now. Just a name.
Octavio Dotel.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at in 12-team leagues. Let's go, if you're in a bit of a bigger league, let's get a little bit more obscure right now. Rudy, first to you, let's say we're in a 15-team league. Who might you be looking at right now?
So we're in a couple of those. So we just went through some of the free agent stuff. So we have I have a pretty good feel for who's available. We saw Brett Wallace available in one league where we just don't need the hitting. But I think he could provide value, and even down to 12-team leagues, although it'd kind of be a desperation pick because first base is so deep. So I think Brett Wallace is a good utility bat who could back up your corner infielder in first base. I also like Yonder Alonso. It's kind of weird that I think in the beginning you kind of look at those guys as kind of weak, but they're going to hit middle of the lineup, and first base and corner infield get kind of watered down as you get into the 15-team leagues.
No kidding.
Even a Brandon Moss might have some value, although I like these two better because I think they're going to get a few more at-bats than Moss because he's in platoon land
right
in Oakland.
What about you, Gray? Who do you like in a 15-teamer?
I'm going to be a little bit more out there and say Gordon Beckham. Look, Gordon Beckham, I know what you're thinking. Can't find a better man.
I'm thinking he's British.
All right. No, he's been terrible for a long time. I will bet you a large amount of money that you won't be able to collect from me that Beckham is available in every league. He's an afterthought at this point. No one wants him. He just came off a season where he had his lowest strikeout percentage and had his highest home run output with 16 while also chucking in 5 steals. It doesn't sound terrible for a waiver wire guy in a deepish league. What if I only told you he's 26 years old? You're suddenly wondering why no one is talking about him. Well, he hit .234 last year. That's hideous, but he was also very unlucky. When correcting for luck, he should have hit .264. If he were to take a step forward and hit 18 homers and .265 and throw in some steals, you could do a lot worse for your MI slot in a deepish league. I say, can't find a better man.
No, it's interesting. I like Beckham. I actually have him. I'm still stuck on him. I've got him in a couple leagues on my bench, so I definitely think there's upside. You make a good argument. Okay, let's really get desperate now. Let's look at NL and AL only. Rudy, to you first. Who are you looking at in NL only leagues?
So right now, it's pretty rough. I mean, if you're in a 12-team league especially, anyone with playing time is hurt. The biggest thing with NL only this year, and I don't know how many drafters accommodated, was that with the Astros gone, granted, jokes aside, you go from 16 to 15 teams, NL only is a lot more brutal than it used to be. If you asked me last week, I would have said Jeremy Hefner on the Mets and A.J. Pollock on Arizona. At this point, I haven't heard in the last, I mean, you basically are just waiting to see anyone with playing time. And right now, I haven't seen too much go on. I mean, if you're in a 10-team league, maybe Amarista on San Diego is still available. Because I think he'll get a lot of playing time with all their injuries in San Diego. But otherwise, I'm eyeing those closers we were talking about, like, pretty much take a flyer on anyone in Houston, Salas on St. Louis. I like A.J. Ramos on Miami as well. At least you're going to get, you know, it's definitely helpful if you got some weak starting pitching.
Okay, let me stick with you, Rudy. Give me your AL-only pick right now.
AL-only, we're kind of in that same position. I think we picked up Steven Pierce on Baltimore, who I don't think is lucky to probably play twice a week. Because if there's anyone with potential at bat, you do it. It's kind of hard. You never know who falls through the cracks. I like Carter Capps on Seattle, another middle reliever, and I know it's kind of ad nauseum, but you know it's probably the only place where there's going to be value in a deeper AL league.
Right. Okay, Gray, what about you? Let's talk NL, AL with you, starting with National League.
National League, I'm going to give you a guy whose name I can't pronounce, which probably isn't the best idea for a podcast. Jurest Familia? Am I even close?
Would it be maybe Uris? I don't know. I'm guessing, too.
The Familia. Let's go with that. Mi Familia has been named to the Mets bullpen, but he's pretty stretched out for a bullpen arm. I think last year he had around 135 innings. Does that sound like a guy who should be in the bullpen? No. He's on a team that just lost Johan for the season, has Markham in front of him, which is ridiculous. He's not gonna last for more than 20 starts. I don't see the Mets bringing back Wheeler anytime soon, just for arbitration reasons alone. And the Jew-S can hit 96 on the speed gun. So he has some control problems. He's not wonderful. I'm not suggesting you take him in a mixed league. But for an NL only, I could see him getting 15 to 20 starts this year.
What about in the American League?
American League is, as Rudy mentioned, it's really a mess. Right now at the top of our waiver wire is A.J. Shugel. I don't know who that is. His Twitter handle is Shug Knight. No lie. So I'm going to go with an MR as well. I'm going to say Tim Collins. He's on our waivers for AL only, and I think we should pick him up. He had a 12-plus K rate last year with 93 Ks and just over 69 innings. Not exciting, but like Rudy said, it's probably the best value you're going to get in that deep of a league. Can't find a better man!
Actually, Gray, let me stick with you for a second, because we're talking about a lot of potential relievers that could turn into closers. What do you think about rostering a guy like K-Rod or Valverde right now?
Yeah, those are definitely names I would look to stash. I think they're, if I'm correct, I think they're already stashed in our single league.
Okay, good stuff. Rudy, let me ask you that same question. How do you feel about rostering K-Rod and or Valverde? And not just necessarily in an AL or NL only, but in a 12 or 15 if you are looking for some middle relief arms.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't touch them in anything but AL and NL only because, you're going to be able to find decent players who will be able to pitch immediately. Those guys, obviously, they first have to find a team and they get warmed up, earn the manager's trust. I'm not really convinced either of those two are going to get saves this year, let alone a job. But I don't think they're gonna get in there for closing. So I take a gamble in a real deep league or a league, and that includes leagues with ridiculously big benches. 12 or 15 team, there's still a bunch of guys out there. You don't have to go for lottery tickets just yet.
Okay, good stuff. Hey, by the way.
Yeah, I agree. There's like the Rosenthals and the Salases. Those guys are way before guys who don't have any sort of obvious opportunity. You know, Valverde probably is going to have to get into game action first. He doesn't even have a team. There's no reason to stash him in mixed leagues.
Okay, good stuff. Rudy, let me ask you, what are your thoughts on making early season deals? Is it better to see what you've got right away, or should you be trying to correct weaknesses right off the bat?
Well, yeah, I see it as I'm open to it. I know we made a couple last year. I see it as more that if there's someone else in the league with a weakness that they have to address and they have to pay 80 cents on the dollar for, then I take it. But I tend not to be too active in trading in the beginning of the season. That I typically like my team, want to see where it's going. And it's just so hard to match up. You know, I think one of the things I remember talking about with Gray was saying, you know, in the beginning of the year, everyone loves their team. They've obviously drafted the guys that they had higher on their draft sheet than anyone else.
Right.
So trying to convince someone is just so rough. So if I hear rumors someone's looking for or they start offering me guys, I'll try to work something out. But otherwise, I tend to hang tight.
All right, what about you, Greg? What do you-
and there's always, like if
the
someone's going to take that two for one.
I like the idea of fantasy baseball rumors that people need.
I employ shoeshine men throughout the country. Hey, what you hearing? What you hearing? Who you like, who you don't?
Gray, what about you? What do you think about early season deals, Gray?
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. I mean, Rudy makes a good point about 80 cents on the dollar, but usually that's not the case. From the comments I've seen, a lot of times people will be trading, say, Justin Upton for Giancarlo. It's like, why didn't you just draft the guy you wanted? And they're really not that different when it comes to straight fantasy value. I mean, they're pretty close in the rankings across the board. So it just doesn't make any sense. And the, the 80 cents on the dollar, if someone didn't draft the closer and I have four closers, then sure, I'll trade them a closer for a piece that they drafted that I feel like I'm getting the requisite value. But I'm not going, not looking to trade like Wainwright and Moore for Halliday and Kershaw. It's like, what? You just drafted your team. Why are you trading away half of your pitching staff? It doesn't make any sense. Like, you have ADD.
Okay.
You just sat down in the movie theater. Like, yo, I'm going to check out a different flick, yo. The credits are too long. Come on, man. Chill out.
Maybe they work in finance and they get commission for every trade. It's just a bad habit.
Or they have ADHD and they can't help themselves but to make trades.
Yeah.
All right, Rudy, let me ask you a question. Any takeaways from spring? Anyone you're high on right now because of what they did in the spring? Or I understand you can't put much into spring stats, but maybe you've seen something in someone that interests you?
Yeah, no, there isn't one guy I'd say. I mean, I didn't get down to Arizona this year, or down into the left, I guess it would be for me. But, I'm finding it hilarious that it seems like everyone on Seattle is hitting home runs. Smoke, Morales, and Morse each hit a ton of homers in the spring. I think it's just a shame that Seattle's a little tougher to hit homers in than Arizona.
Right. Well, they brought the fences in Seattle, though.
Yeah, but it's still it's so much of it is actually like the climate and everything. ball's just heavier in Seattle than Arizona.
Fences into the like the rock and jock fence area.
Well, if they put the dome up all the time, they can control it a little better. There was a while there, the King Dome was a great hitter's park, but I think that one's going to stay a pitcher's park. You don't spend that much on Felix Hernandez and then turn yourself into a hitter's park. But no, I pretty much would ignore that stuff. The only thing that comes out of spring that I care about is what guys' roles are and where they end up in the lineup.
Okay, well, let me ask you right there then, Rudy. Did you see anything interesting that someone won a spot or a place in the lineup that's maybe moves them up to compared to where you had them?
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that Hayward's hitting two in Atlanta. I wasn't sure where he was going to end up hitting.
Right.
I think he's going to get a ton of runs there because he's got some good guys behind him. I also like the Harper I'd kind of assumed he was going to hit like two, and now the rumor is he's going to hit third on that team with Zimmerman protecting him. That's just a loaded lineup. Makes me feel a lot better about taking him in the first round.
Okay, good stuff. Gray, let me put that same question to you. Any takeaways from spring?
Yeah, I totally agree with Rudy. I think that any stats are just ridiculous, and you should throw them out the window. It doesn't matter that Mike Moore hit the most homers in the spring. It's just like Rudy said. I mean, it's not applicable to what he's going to do in Seattle at all. There's no rhyme or reason for when guys, you know, in Arizona, they're and Morris especially. He was healthy, and he was in Arizona.
And they threw him fastball.
Seattle, and he doesn't stay healthy.
Right.
And then the I mean, there's also what to actually look at is the same as what Rudy said. I would agree with who's the fifth starter, who's going to be in the lineup, who's an everyday player, who's not an everyday player. What I would add to the whole lineup situation is I don't take away if a guy's hitting second coming out of spring training, it's good, it's a positive. But he could easily move to sixth by the end of next week, and he's in the sixth hole for the rest of the season. I don't put that much weight on whether a guy is hitting second or fifth at this point.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, last question, Rudy, for you. Are you excited about the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest happening at DraftKings on Tuesday?
I am psyched. I'm panicking because I haven't gotten my Streaminator and Hittertron fully working yet. So I have, or productionalized, as they say in the development world. So I might actually have to think on this one. I'm not happy about that.
I've actually plugged my lineup in already. I'm ready to go
for Tuesday. You already know who you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. I'm psyched for this thing.
I would look at Nolan Reimel. Just saying.
Sorry, Rudy, you were saying something. I cut you off there.
I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to a fun season of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Seeing if anyone could beat the computer.
All right, listen, thanks for joining us today, guys. Of course, he is at Rudy Gamble on Twitter. Gray is at Razzball. I am at Nick Capozzi. We'll talk to you again next week, ladies and gentlemen.